step, we trace the way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome our viewers back to another episode of the wonderful silsila, the wonderful program called Chronology of the Prophetic Life. Yes, Chronology of the Prophetic Life, inshallah azza wa jal. In this series of programs, inshallah azza wa jal, we're going to discuss the timeline of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed hayat, his blessed life upon this earth, him spending it with the sahaba ikram, and from the very birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way to his blessed wafat, the entire seerah, inshallah, we're going to sum it up, we're going to summarize it as best as possible over 12 episodes, inshallah azza wa jal. Before we go any further, we always encourage the recitation of salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we quote various ahadith to motivate us to recite salawat upon the beloved of Allah, your beloved, our beloved, the universal beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the many benefits we will receive by our recitation of salawat is found in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who recites salawat just once, Allah azza wa jal showers 10 mercies upon him. Yes, 10 mercies for the one who recites salawat just once. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Now you recite more salawat, you receive more of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who doesn't want the mercy of Allah? Everyone wants the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we going to achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By reciting salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance, inshaAllah azza wa jal. Now, dear viewers, alhamdulillah, in the last episode, we discussed the childhood of our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we show that alhamdulillah, you would have thoroughly enjoyed that and taken much spiritual benefit from it. We would learn, subhanallah, the specialities of the childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, we are moving towards the youthful days of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed youth. And you stay glued, you stay with us, inshallah, you're going to realize that the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was absolutely unique. There is no youth like his youth sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as there is no creation like his creation. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perfect, and indeed in his seerah, in his lifestyle, in his way, we are going to find the perfect example. And what makes this program even more special is that alhamdulillah, we are so blessed to have two honorable guests with us, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. On my right, we have Mawlana Abdul Qadir, who alhamdulillah, you're very familiar with. Mawlana Sahib graces the airwaves of Madani Channel very often, alhamdulillah, and we welcome Mawlana Sahib to this wonderful silsila. Marhaba Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah Mawlana Sahib. It's wonderful having you. How are you keeping today?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
It's an honor to be participating with the program, alhamdulillah, along with the colleagues like yourself and Mawlana Suhail Madani, subhanallah.
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Indeed, it's an honor to be discussing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the sha'ir beautifully says, مَا إِن مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي وَلَكِن مَدَحْتُ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That I do not praise the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my lips. No, no, don't think it as that. That I am praising Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, rather, my words are receiving praise by being attached to the beloved of Allah. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Because whatever is attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes special. So those words and that praise that is attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that becomes a very special praise. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And alhamdulillah, Mawlana Sahib, you also have the honor of discussing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We welcome Mawlana Suhail Sahib to this episode as well. Marhaba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Subhanallah azza wa jal. Mawlana Sahib has taught us a beautiful sunnah in his action now, alhamdulillah, that when we respond to salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that respond to salam
equal or with better words, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. MashaAllah and marhaba to you as well. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, our honorable viewers, today we are discussing the youthful days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we've learned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the noble, the great city of Makkah al-Mukarrama. Alhamdulillah. And in the last episode we learned the time period was Amul Fil. It was the year of the elephant, and we discussed the story of Abraha. If you didn't watch that, then please try to go back on your social media, find that episode and learn of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life from his blessed birth onwards. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam living in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, that previous era before Islam, however, was known as the period of Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance. And ignorance was very widespread. Alhamdulillah, Islam brought the ilm. Islam brought the noor. There was a period of darkness and Islam brought the era of light. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, in the era of darkness, there was lots of fighting, there were lots of wars, and there were lots of wrongs that would take place throughout the world and especially in the Arabian Peninsula. However, when the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, then things began to change. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. He always brings lightness and good wherever he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes. And thus, in the initial times, you would have certain wars that would take place, and really wars would take place over very petty matters. Petty matters, just little arguments between people of one tribe and another tribe, and then wars would break out between the tribes. And there would be certain periods in which fighting is not allowed, war is not allowed, battles are not allowed. Those were periods of Ashhurul Hurum, sacred months, the months Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. These were known as sacred months even in that period, even in Zamana Jahiliyyah, in the era of ignorance. However, still certain wars would take place, battles would take place in that time, and those battles would be known as Hurub Fijar. Hurub means battles or wars. Fijar means sinful. That sinful battles, battles of sin. And what was the reason that it would be called that? It's because it's taking place in times where it's prohibited to actually engage in battle. However, battles were fought, many battles were fought, many lives were lost, unfortunately. However, when the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then things were about to change. So in the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his nabuwah, certain treaties were taking place. Certain treaties were taking place in order to make Makkah al-Mukarramah a more peaceful and a more wonderful place to stay in. Already it's such a beautiful place, but subhanallah azza wa jal, these battles were now coming to an end by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And one such treaty or one such agreement that took place between the tribes of Makkah al-Mukarramah is known as Halful Fudul. Halful Fudul. This was an engagement and an agreement between certain leaders of tribes in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And it's known as Halful Fudul because it was an agreement between many fadls. Many people's names were fadl, and the jama'a fadl or the plural of fadl is fudul. So it was a treaty or an agreement between the fadls that took place. And what a beautiful treaty it was. Alhamdulillah, you already see that slowly the Arabs were getting used to what is about to come from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace, serenity, safety, security, and subhanAllah. Allah, I'll mention some of the clauses within this treaty as well, within this agreement, that they were to change the environment of Makkah al-Mukarramah from that previous environment to a more peaceful, to a more peace-loving environment. Number two is to protect the travelers. Those who are passing through Makkah al-Mukarramah, those who are traveling to and then leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, that now there was no fighting or battles to take place with them. They were to be protected and kept safe. Number three was to help the poor and destitute. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Aren't we noticing that these are teachings of Islam? Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. And number four, to protect the oppressed ones, those who are mazloom, to protect them, alhamdulillah. And number five was not to allow any oppressor, any zalim to stay in Makkatul Mukarramah. Because if someone stayed in Makkatul Mukarramah who was a zalim, then Makkatul Mukarramah or the people of Mecca would be keeping that fugitive, they would be keeping that zalim person, and oppression would spread. So they agreed that no zalim, no oppressor is to be housed in Makkatul Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved this so much that even after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did i'lan in Nubuwa, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed his prophethood, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would still speak of that agreement, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still honored and loved that agreement because it also carried values similar to the values that Huzur Ekrem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Subhanallah. Mawlana Sahib, this peace-loving Nabi,
Allah,
this peace-loving Prophet, subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought so much of peace, security, safety, serenity. What can Huzur please mention to us regarding our peace-loving Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, he is that personality who taught us how to live in peace.
So, mashallah,
people in that time were immersed in immense darkness.
Absolutely.
Darkness in all matters, mm-hmm. metaphorically as well as physically.
Oh.
Let's say, for example, daughters used to be buried alive. And slaves, they used to be treated worse than animals. There was no such thing called as human rights. Human rights came when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam graced this planet Earth.
Subhanallah.
And he gave us an idea of what is human rights.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah.
So today those who advocate for human rights,
yes,
and they proclaim to be the custodians of human rights and so on, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how it's done, and so the world follows.
Alhamdulillah.
Not only as Muslims, alhamdulillah.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
The people of all faiths,
alhamdulillah,
they follow the principles laid by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of peace loving nation and peace loving community, as the entire globe is a community. It's
absolutely
a little community even now in the world that is very well connected.
Yes.
And the world is known as global village. Why?
Yes.
Because we are so connected. I'm sitting here in the continent of Africa. I can now pick up the phone and call somebody sitting in the continent that is called Australia,
yes,
which is thousands of miles away.
Wow.
And I would just talk to him like he was here, the person was here.
Subhanallah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us the concept of mm-hmm. keeping this muhabba, the peace, love and harmony among us, the human race.
Mm-hmm.
We are insan, and to us it should come naturally.
Yes.
We have lost this value of uns, of peace and harmony. Unsiyat, you know, uns. And
humanity.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So he came and taught us that very humanity which was forgotten.
Ah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and he came in the age of darkness, as Mawlana Sahib has explained. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to this world, he describes the event in the Holy Quran as قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ.
Wow.
And the Mufassirin, alhamdulillah, most of the tafasir, as far as I have seen, they have unanimously interpreted the word Noor as Ay Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Right, and alhamdulillah, so this is the concept given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see, metaphorically as we speak, light is likened to knowledge, or knowledge is likened to light, and vice versa. And ignorance is likened to darkness.
Absolutely.
And when there was darkness and ignorance, jahiliyyah, darkness,
mm-hmm.
you see where we're going, alhamdulillah, jahiliyyah and darkness was widespread.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a light.
Yes.
To brighten the world.
Alhamdulillah.
And mashallah, you have given the example of Halful Fudul.
Yes.
And they got together, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partook in this peace treaty, and there were certain clauses that were mentioned that, you know, this is what we'll do under these conditions, we'll try to keep the peace. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara,
mm-hmm.
they also, we can see this concept.
concept. Subhanallah. Usually nowadays, if people, you know, come from foreign countries into some other countries, there is usually some distaste, you know, there's some maybe jealousy or malice harbored against each other. It comes natural, right? I remember a saying in Arabic that is, those that we are not familiar with, we tend to be skeptical of approaching that person or having a friendly relationship with that person. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at how he made the Muhajir and Ansar brothers to one another.
Subhanallah.
But they were brothers like no other. And then we have the tribes of Aus and Khazraj.
Right.
They used to be up in arms over any tiny matter. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam graced the land of Madina Munawwara, he made them brothers, subhanAllah.
Wow.
And he ended this years and this fight that extended over generations. It all came to an end, subhanAllah. He brought the Muhajirin and the Ansar brothers so close that they would share anything and everything. You, alhamdulillah, you have 2 houses. No problem. My Muhajir brother, he doesn't have a house. Let me give him one house, that extra house that I have. Subhanallah. Who does it?
Absolutely. Who has that generosity and who can build that kind of generosity into the hearts of people? You know, parents from time to time have difficulties between their children, making one sibling be so comfortable to be able to share their own belongings with the next sibling. But look at our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was able to take 2 strangers and place such love in their hearts for each other that they were prepared to give houses to each other. They were prepared to divide their home and say, oh my brother, I have met you for the first time, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made you my brother.
Subhanallah.
And so half of my house belongs to you.
Allah.
That's the brotherhood he created.
And mashallah, that Islam came with peace, with rahmah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his titles is Nabiyur Rahmah. The Prophet of Peace, subhanAllah, the Prophet of Mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his mercy, وَمَا أَرْسَلَّكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Subhanallah.
What does mercy mean? Is peace not part of the mercy, subhanAllah?
Absolutely.
Mercy is way beyond peace. Allahu Akbar. Mercy is somebody is not being peaceful with you, but you are still extending a peaceful hand and a merciful hand towards that person. That is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, mashallah, and it showed everywhere in all facets of his life, even during wars that were fought in during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's say, for example, of all the wars, the ghazawat that we study in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 2/3 of them, the fight never happened.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. And nowadays, what are the chances that two countries are going on war with each other and the fight just gets derailed? In most cases, the fight does happen.
Yes.
Look at the occurrences of, you know, fights through human history. In most cases, the fight gets even intensified. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes sure that it doesn't come to a fight.
Alhamdulillah.
And not only the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his progeny, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he ensured that there was no fighting. Up until the last moment, just before the advent of the Battle of Karbala, he still insisted, I'm not here to fight with you.
Right.
I'm here to keep the peace which my Nana Jan has taught me.
Subhanallah.
I'm not here to fight. I've come with my family here. Who goes with their family and their children to fight in the battlefield?
Wow. Allah. Really?
So he went there bearing the message of love and peace, subhanAllah, to the people of Kufa, that I'm here as your savior. I'm here to extend my merciful hand towards you, subhanAllah. Grab my hand.
SubhanAllah.
Those people. However, it was tragic what happened. But the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that lineage, I haven't seen anyone who is too quick to fight. In fact, we have found the Sadat-e Kiram in the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have seen all those that have that blood running through their veins. They have the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, traces of it running through their veins, alhamdulillah. Be it Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Sayyidina Khwaja Harin Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Sayyidina Sayyidina Imam Baqir rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala, and Imam Hussein, the alhamdulillah, the pious predecessor. So all of this is seen in the history of Islam and the seerah of Rasulullah, the testimony of this very fact.
Absolutely.
And the only time where the swords were drawn or where they retaliated the nation of Rasulullah, him and his companions, Allahu Akbar, was only for their own defense. We're not taking the wars on somebody's doors, but if the war comes to your door,
then you'll defend
your family, your loved ones, and that's what he did, Allahu Akbar. But he never went on an offensive attack against any nation in
the world. Wow, subhanAllah, this peace-loving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his childhood he was peace-loving, into his youth he was peace-loving, subhanAllah, to the extent that people loved and they respected the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much because of his way, his softness, his beautiful character, his beautiful akhlaq that would set him different, set him on the highest level, even among his tribe within the Quraysh. They knew of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be one of exemplary character, one who was so truthful that anything he utters was definitely the truth. One who was so trustworthy that they would call him Al-Amin, the trustworthy person, subhanAllah. If anyone wanted to keep any belonging with someone, whether they believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not, they knew that that beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most trustworthy person we can find to keep our belongings with. If someone wanted to trade, if someone wanted that their goods be looked after and their best interests be kept in mind, they would look towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for they trusted no one else in the village, in the area of Makkah al-Mukarramah, like the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That's when, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went on three journeys for business before proclaiming his prophethood. And the second journey, as Masab mentioned, because of, you know, that high esteemed rank, he was known as an eminent in the community. So Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she needed someone, or she was looking for someone to go with her merchandise to Syria.
Okay.
And looking at the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what a rank he had, how people respected him, I mean the title of Al-Amin, subhanAllah,
wow,
the trustworthy one. So she requested him sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go with her merchandise to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And she radiallahu ta'ala anha sent one of her servants with him. So when they got to Syria, so the caravan stopped at a monastery.
Right.
And in that monastery, there was a monk by the name of Nastura.
All right.
So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting beneath a tree.
SubhanAllah, our simple Nabi, our beloved Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never felt it too high to even rest below a tree.
SubhanAllah, that was him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this beautiful scene, Allahu Akbar, caught the eye of Nastura.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, he saw characteristics and, you know, things within Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, you know, connected with what the Injil and the Torah described as the final prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
SubhanAllah.
So he saw these characteristics in Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he knew Maysara.
Mm-hmm.
He knew Maysara because of, you know, other times she would travel. So he inquired that, you know, who is this? So Maysara described that he is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he, you know, amongst the people of Makkah, he is known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. So he, Nastura says that indeed within him is the characteristics that are found in the Torah and the Injil regarding the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that tree which he is resting beneath, no one except prophets would rest beneath that tree. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now when the journey ends, in Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, he finishes, you know, the merchandise, selling it, etc. And they head back to Makkah Mukarramah.
Right.
So as they are heading back, so Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was resting on the top level of her house. And something very beautiful catch her eye. What does she see? She sees that angels are shading Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. And, you know, looking at this, so it caught her eye and she was really amazed.
Right.
So, you know, when a slave came and, you know, they settled in, etc. So she started to, you know, inform her slave about what she saw.
Right.
Maisara. So Maisara says that, indeed, I have seen many other amazing things.
Wow.
Of Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. Many other things which I have seen. You know, imagine angels, subhanallah, giving shade to sallallahu ta'ala. So there were many things amongst these things, beautiful things that, you know, inspired Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, you know, to send a proposal for marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, how amazing, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having traveled to Syria on behalf of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. How amazing that, subhanallah, even along this journey, such wonderful things, amazing things, extraordinary things were seen regarding the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That alhamdulillah, among them was that Allah Azza wa Jal would let the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be shaded, because we know that the deserts of Arabia, the areas of Syria, they're around the equator, they get very hot. Many days of extreme scorching sun, but Allah Azza wa Jal would make sure that His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shaded. And what more we come to realize as well, that those who knew the scriptures of the Injil and the Torah, the heavenly revealed books, they were able to identify Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how? By the descriptions of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found in those previously revealed books. And so we know, subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal is so proud and loving towards His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal had made mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam who came to the dunya before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to come, and these are his characteristics. So the scholars of those books, they saw those characteristics in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus they revered the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would ask, who is this? For we see the qualities of the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found in this blessed personality. And this took Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha aback, that wow, what a personality this is. We only hear good about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we ask anyone, they speak good. When we trust him, he never breaks our trust. When he speaks, he only speaks the truth. What amazing characteristics this beautiful personality has, until she felt so inclined that she sent a proposal that she would love to marry this great personality, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what a personality she herself was, the wife of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to become the wife at that time of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This wonderful personality, Tahira. She's known as a pure personality. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Mulana Sahib, if you could please enlighten us regarding Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, the blessed wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, Sayyidi, she is the first mother of the believers.
Subhanallah.
And she was that noble woman of Quraysh and Arabia, mashallah, that she was known as Tahira, the one who's pure. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being the most pure creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he chose what's pure.
Subhanallah.
As he has been, mashallah, being transferred from pure backs to pure wombs, and mashallah, now that pure Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is getting married to a pure woman.
Subhanallah.
So Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, despite her being an affluent personality of Arabia, and she was previously married twice, and both her husbands had passed away, and now mashallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she saw and she took an instant liking to the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And see, this is what happens, right? Great minds think alike.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, it must have taken her something, because she had the noble personality, and it didn't take her long to realize that he is the man, subhanallah, that she should fall for. Alhamdulillah. And she sent the proposal through to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you have mentioned, and that is how, mashallah, they got married. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always spoke so highly of her. Alhamdulillah. Even after she passed away, he would still remember her. Alhamdulillah. Even in the latter days, after the migration from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, whereas Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, she passed away in Makkah Mukarramah, yes, in Amul Huzn. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always remembered her. That's how he was deeply loved, and he loved back his blessed wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And this should teach us, you know, us the youth and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bond we should have, and that's how we should be supportive of one another as husband and wife, to one another in, for the greater cause of Islam. And she was the one who supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, firstly with her moral support, and then through her wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her enough wealth. And then she was also the great personality and the great woman in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the other wives, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, that all the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were born through Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, except for Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was born from Sayyida Maria Qibtiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And mashallah, and she was the one who consoled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the burden of wahi was felt by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to the cave of Hira and he embraced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tightly. And then after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was overwhelmed at the time, and he came home. And he told Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha to cover him, to cover him. This is actually, in fact, the first narration of Bukhari. So alhamdulillah, Kitabu Bad'il Wahy. And then, mashallah, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, look at her devotion towards her husband. Her devotion towards the husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that she would, you know, go and tie the lunch of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he would take few days provision and then go seclude himself for the devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she was supportive of it. Imagine nowadays, our wives are supportive. Allahu Akbar. We should take cues from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I mean, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, Quran Park mentions لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْفَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You know that in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the best of examples. So what better examples as a Muslim to take than from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, than from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So alhamdulillah, that's how supportive she was, Sayyidi. And as the Quran says, تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى.
Subhanallah.
And this is a clear message of the Holy Quran. This, you know, we are as partners, you know, husband and wife, partners, alhamdulillah. And we should, of all people, should be supportive of each other on piety and on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas what happens nowadays, you know, some couples, they'll tell you, know, we are partners in crime. Ma'adullah. So this is not something that we should be looking forward to, or we should bring home, because if we bring home negativity, negativity will be the outcome.
Yes.
If the husband and wife, they are not supportive of each other on righteous deeds, on good things, on good upbringing giving to their children, then and then at the end we expect our children to become awliya Allah, then how is that possible, Sayyidi? First we need to stretch ourselves, then support, be supportive of each other, then inshallah the children, as we are alhamdulillah nurturing our children, we must teach them the same values, subhanallah. And that is how Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala grew up in the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that home, mashallah. And how was his caliber, subhanallah. He is Akhir Rasul was Udul Batul. He's the brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cousin brother. And he's the husband of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see in him? Because he was brought up by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he knew that nobody in the entire planet Earth would have that good of an upbringing than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his house, he would have given him.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. The blessed wife of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she is the mother of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. You know, subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, Close to Makkah al-Mukarramah, you find a mountain known as Jabal Nur. It's the mountain of Nur. And subhanAllah, Nurani and Nur mountain, because it had the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. If you climb that mountain, you reach a place called the Cave of Hira. That is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be, and Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha would climb all the way up to the Cave of Hira to ensure that she brings food and the needs of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a supportive personality. What an amazing personality that was prepared to go out of her way for her beloved husband, our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her wealth, with herself, with her being, with her time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say that she was there. She was there for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when others were not there. Yes, great Sahaba ikram came later, alhamdulillah. But from the very beginning, Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha did not leave the side of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And her nikah with the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so amazing as well. She was at the age of 40. 40 years old, she was widowed twice already. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 25 receives the proposal from Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now she was a personality who leaders of the tribes of Makkah al-Mukarramah and surroundings heard so much of that they wanted to propose and requested to marry her. However, she had refused. Until she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she wasn't waiting for the proposal anymore. Now she sent the proposal that I don't want to miss this opportunity. And really she didn't miss that opportunity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the proposal and presented it to his uncle Abu Talib, and subhanallah azza wa jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that proposal. How fortunate this great personality Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was, that now she had her proposal accepted by the beloved of Allah. And she spent 25 years of her life in her marriage with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before she had departed from this world. However, during her nikah, some beautiful speeches were given. And I just want to draw our attention to a few points that were mentioned regarding our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those speeches. Two speeches were given, one from the side of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one from the side of the family of Sayyidah Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha. So representing Huzur Ekram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, because Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed under the guardianship of Abu Talib during the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Talib had spoken
Allah
at that occasion of the first nikah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that all praise is due to Allah azza wa jal, who has created and made us from amongst the descendants of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from that noble lineage. And Abu Talib further said that Allah azza wa jal has privileged us to be born from the family of Ma'ad and the family of Mudar. These are also famous, well-known tribes in Makkah al-Mukarramah in the Arabian Peninsula. And he further says, Allah Azza wa Jal has also granted us the privilege of becoming the custodians of the house of knowledge and wisdom, the peaceful haram. The family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would look after the Haram Sharif of Makkah al-Mukarramah. As we've learned in the previous episode, that Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the caretaker of the Kaaba. What an honor, what an honorable family, because of being attached to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah azza wa jal has enabled us to rule over people. Now he starts to discuss and to describe the way of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the akhlaq and the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, this is before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done i'lan an-nubuwwah. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned and proclaimed his prophethood to the people. But still Abu Talib mentions regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is Muhammad, who is the son of Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the brother of Abu Talib. Meaning, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala is the brother of Abu Talib. And he says that he's such a young man who will always remain greater and superior if compared with any other person of the Quraysh. Wow! Even though he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has less wealth, but wealth is not always reliable because it disappears like a disappearing shadow. So apparently, Huzur Ekram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seemed not to have much wealth. But Abu Talib recognized that. He knew that wealth is sometimes here and then wealth goes away. But as for the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi tells us that do jaha ki ni'mate hai unki khali haath mein. That he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose a simple life, but the treasures of Allah Azza wa Jal were open to him. If he wished sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mountains would follow him made of gold. But he chose a life of simplicity. But continuing that khutbah, that speech regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Abu Talib, Abu Talib mentions further that moreover, you are well aware of the fact that my nephew is related to me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how dear he is to me. He performs nikah with Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu ta'ala anha with the mahr of 20 camels that I will pay from my wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so beloved to Abu Talib that Abu Talib was going to pay the mahr, and he paid the mahr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his own wealth. And Abu Talib says that his future, the future of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very bright and very great and glorious. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And what a beautiful speech about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this is. Until from the family of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Waraqah bin Nawfal also speaks. And he acknowledges that, O Abu Talib, Allah Azza wa Jal be glorified and praised the way you described. And he also admits that, Alhamdulillah, praise to Allah Azza wa Jal, who has bestowed upon us the superiority that you have mentioned. That indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has made us chiefs and leaders and granted us excellence and superiority among the Arabs. And then he later hands over, he says, that I hand over Khadija bint Khuwaylid, رضي Allah Ta'ala anha in the nikah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So these speeches also tell you of the noble background of both these personalities. One being the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other being Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Oh beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so praised and so praiseworthy. Alhamdulillah. Such that when we hear his praise, us lovers are drawn towards him closer and closer until we do not want to be even a centimeter separate from him. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Let us take this opportunity to listen to the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of a beautiful kalam to connect you even more strongly to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take you in spirit to Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. We'll continue this wonderful topic just after this kalam. Please stay with us. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahar ka waqt tha aur pyari kaliyan muskurati thi, muskurati thi. Hawaye khair maqdam ke tarane gungunati thi, abhi Jibreel utre bhi na the Kaabe ki minbar se. Kitne mein sada aayi ye Abdullah ke ghar se. Mere sarkaar aaye, mere dildar aaye, mere ghamkhwar aaye, mere lajpal aaye.
Mubarak ho, mubarak aaj aaye, sabse aakhri nabi ho. Mubarak aaj aaye, sabse aakhri nabi.
Sarkaar ki aamad,
marhaba.
Dildar ki aamad,
marhaba.
Rehbar ki aamad,
marhaba.
Sarwar ki aamad,
marhaba.
Sardar ki aamad,
marhaba. Ho mubarak aaj aaye sabse aakhri nabi. Ho mubarak aaj aaye sabse aakhri nabi.
Ho mubarak ahle iman, ide miladun nabi, ide miladun nabi, ide miladun nabi. Ho gayi kismat darakhsha, ho gayi kismat darakhsha. شاہید میلاد النبی
ہم مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی ہم مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی
انشاءاللہ آج عیدی میں ملے گی مغفرت ہے جب ہی شیطان پریشان ہے جب ہی شیطان پریشان عید میلاد النبی
بھول مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی بھول مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی
چار جانب دھوم ہے سرکار کے میلاد کی سرکار کے میلاد کی سرکار کے میلاد کی چار جانب دھوم ہے سرکار کے میلاد کی سرکار کے میلاد کی جھومتا ہے ہر مسلمان جھومتا ہے ہر مسلمان عید میلاد النبی
مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی
میرے سرکار آئے جو میرے دلدار آئے جو میرے غمخوار آئے جو میرے لجپال آئے
جو مبارک ہو مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی ہو مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی
عرش پر چاروں طرف صلی اللہ کی دھوم ہے ماہ ربیع الاول آیا رب کی رحمت ساتھ ملایا وقت مبارک رات سہانی صبح کا تڑکا ہے نورانی پیر کا دن تاریخ ہے بارہ فرش پہ چمکا عرشی تارا آج کی رات برات رچی ہے آمنہ کے گھر دھوم مچی ہے گھر میں ہورے در پہ ملک ہیں جن کی قطاریں تاب فلک ہیں ٹھنڈی ہوا کا جھونکا آیا شور مچا ایک صلی اللہ کا صلی اللہ محمد صلی اللہ محمد ٹھنڈی ہوا کا جھونکا آیا شور مچا ایک صلی اللہ کا لوگو اٹھی گرد سواری پیدا ہوئے محبوب واری رحمت عالم نور مجسم رحمت عالم نور مجسم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم عرش پر چاروں طرف صلی اللہ کی دھوم گئے آ گئے نور یزداں آ گئے ہیں نور یزداں عید میلاد النبی
مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی مبارک آج سب سے آخری
عید میلاد النبی کا واسطہ تار کو عید میلاد النبی کا واسطہ تار کو بخش دے اے رب رحمان بخش دے اے رب رحمان عید میلاد النبی
مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی مبارک آج ہائے سب سے آخری نبی
تم بھی اٹھو اب وقت ادب ہے ذکر ولادت شاہ عرب ہے تخت ہے ان کا تاج ہے ان کا دونوں جہاں معراج ہے ان کا اونچے اونچے یہاں جھکتے ہیں سارے انہی کا منہ تکتے ہیں شاہ و گدا ہیں ان کے سلامی فخر ہے سب کو ان کی غلامی کعبے کی زینت انہی کے قدم سے طیبہ کی رونق انہی کے قدم سے کعبہ ہی کیا ہے سارے جہاں میں دھوم ہے ان کی کون مقام ہے آمین نبی کو لال مبارک آمین نبی کو لال مبارک دائی حلیم قبال مبارک تم کو خلیل اللہ کا مبارک تم کو ذبیح اللہ کا مبارک دان کرو کچھ جشن ہے بھاری در پہ کھڑے ہیں سارے بھکاری در پہ ہیں حاضر اپنے پرائے آپ کے دم سے آس لگائے ہم تو پرانے کمین ہیں تر کے نام لکھے ہیں پدر مادر کے چشم کرم للہ کا ادھر گو چشم کرم للہ کا ادھر گو سال کے خستہ پر بھی نظر ہو
مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی
میرے سرکار آئے جو میرے دلدار آئے جو میرے غم خوار آئے جو میرے لجپال آئے
جو مبارک ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی
سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
دلدار کی آمد
مرحبا
رہبر کی آمد
مرحبا
سرور کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
مرحبا مرحبا Subhanallah, Subhanallah, MashaAllah, what a beautiful kalam in praise of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And every time we listen to the praise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how wonderful we feel, what serenity we feel, how our iman feels refreshed, our spirits feel rejuvenated. Alhamdulillah, this is the blessings of the praise of the beloved of Allah, the one who brings peace to our hearts, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This wonderful personality, MashaAllah, Azza wa Jal, such a love personality. Throughout the world, and initially, subhanallah, in Makkatul Mukarrama, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his childhood and spent his youth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there too, he was loved, he was respected, he was adored. And subhanallah, whenever there was any difficulty or any opinion that was needed or any guidance, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one who can be trusted, he is one that we can rely upon, and he was fair, he was just, he was upright in all matters. This was no secret. This was well known. This was widespread. There were times when challenges took place between the Quraysh as well, and challenges took place in Makkatul Mukarrama as well. One of the challenges that the Quraysh did face is the rebuilding of the Kaaba. There was a point at which floods and storms had damaged the building of the Kaaba. And the Kaaba Sharif building needed to be renewed as well, needed to be rebuilt as well. And that could have been quite a challenging situation. Yes, it was challenging because you have all these tribes, but oh, beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah azza wa jal, what a wonderful, great and wise personality brings ease when there is difficulty, isn't it? Subhanallah. Well, can you speak to us? Can you please share with us some of the history regarding the building of the Kaaba in the time of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Were there any challenges? Actually, we do know there were some, but please share some with us and tell us about the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in overcoming these challenges.
Subhanallah. So yes, indeed, there were a lot of challenges, in fact, due to storms and floods. It would cause difficulty because understand that that's a mountainous area and the Kaaba is like in a slope. So, you know, floods would come and flood the entire area of the Kaaba. And, you know, the structure of the Kaaba would, you know, get damaged. So, you know, those were some of the difficulties. And indeed, when it came to the construction, when it came to the revamping, every tribe had their own duties for the Kaabatullah.
Alhamdulillah.
But there came a time when it came to the Hajar-e Aswad.
Ah.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
You know, as I mentioned, that each tribe, they had their own responsibilities. For example, you know, Mawlana Sahib and his tribe, they would take care of the bricks. Mawlana Sahib and his tribe would take care of the cement. I would take care of the Khilaf-e Kaaba. Example. So each tribe, they had their own responsibilities. But now when it came to the Hajar-e Aswad, the tribes got in a conflict, an argument.
Right.
And this disagreement, you know, it spanned up to 4 days. You know, who is going to carry the Hajar-e Aswad?
Right.
So, you know, an elderly man, he said that whoever is first in the Mataf area, he will make the decision. Allahu Akbar. And so what happened was, Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the next day he was present. He was the first one in the mataf of the Kaaba, subhanallah. And what a beautiful, you know, decision he made. Allahu Akbar.
Sallallahu.
No fighting, no quarrels. One representative from each tribe to hold a cloth that carried the Hajri Aswad, subhanallah. Wow. Allahu Akbar. What wisdom, subhanallah. Instead of fighting and shouting, a simple solution. One representative from each tribe hold the cloth to place it, subhanallah, azwajal. What wisdom Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had. And yes, Mawlana Sahib is right, mashallah. Indeed, you know, when we talk about him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my companions are like the stars in the sky, subhanallah. When you look at the sahaba ikram, subhanallah, every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is jannati, subhanallah. When you look at the sahaba ikram, you look at the khulafai rashideen, you look at the wisdom, you look at the hikmah, you look at the planning, they're strategizing, their mind, you know, it all is from the tarbiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah.
Subhanallah, azza wa jalla, wow, alhamdulillah. What brilliant planning and what an amazing guidance to ensure that everyone is kept happy, that everyone can, alhamdulillah, partake in the placing of the Hajr al-Aswad. Because yes, the Kaaba Sharif, for the building of the Kaaba Sharif, there are various duties. But when it comes to Hajri Aswad, then it is one. And Hajri Aswad must be placed, and everyone wants to place. So subhanAllah, this hikmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placing Hajri Aswad in a cloth, where the representatives of different tribes carry the cloths and take it towards the Kaaba, and Huzur Ekram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picks up Hajri Aswad with his own blessed hands and places Hajri Aswad on the Kaaba at its prescribed or its proper place, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, with his own blessed hands. Hajri Aswad is a stone from Jannah.
Subhanallah.
But its greatness is received even further by the touching of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hands upon Hajri Aswad. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would address Hajri Aswad, and he would say, "Oh Hajri Aswad,
Allah,
I am kissing you because the lips of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has touched you." What a love he had, that which is connected to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is blessed, that is great because of its nisbah, because of its connection with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also connected to various people. Yes, his sahaba ikram flocked to him, most definitely. But from his youth, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had certain friends that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent some time with. And what brilliant friends they were. What amazing personalities they were. Friendship is such an important thing. Friends can make you, friends can break you. You need to spend time in good people's company. And another important matter is that you attract the friends that you have by your personality.
Subhanallah.
Friends see you, they know how you are, and like-minded people become attracted to you. That is such an important thing to pay attention to, that if we want good friends, we need to be good people. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of people.
Best.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at the friends he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attracted. You have Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, the Khalifa of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bosom friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before I'lan al-Nabuwa, before he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even propagated Islam openly. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala is the friend of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a personality, being attracted to the greatest of all creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some other great names. There's a personality who also became Muslim, Sayyidina Hakim bin Hazam radiyallahu ta'ala. He is such a personality who was born in the Kaaba. He was born in the Kaaba. Another person was known as a doctor. He would treat people. He was Dammad bin Tha'labah radiyallahu ta'ala. And you hear of these personalities who were close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to the people regarding Islam, they were so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they trusted Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that they became sahaba of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another famous one is Qais Makhzumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a business partner of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were other personalities as well that were attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Sayyidina Zayd bin Amr radiyallahu Allahu ta'ala an, he was muwahid all the time. And subhanAllah, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, wouldn't worship idols. In fact, he would propagate the deen of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He would say, I'm upon the deen of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that I don't worship anyone besides Allah.
Subhanallah.
So subhanAllah azza wa jalla, he was muwahid, and the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always muwahid, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so Sayyidina Zayd bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, he was attracted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This brilliant personality with brilliant morals and amazing values, no matter what the field was. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did business as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the example for our entire lives, even our business transactions. Even our business transactions, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to deal. There's a personality, a sahabi as well. He became sahabi. His name was Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an. And he had a business transaction with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his business transaction was such that he did not have sufficient wealth with him to pay for the entire transaction at that point. And so he asked of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give him a little time just to go and fetch the wealth to come back and pay the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's time, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us. We have different means of ease without carrying much wealth around. People pay by card payments and by other payments. But back then you have to actually carry the wealth. So he did a transaction, but he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please wait here for me. Please do not leave. Allow me to go back and fetch the wealth, fetch the money, and let me come back and I can pay. And when the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited there, this person who later became sahabi, he went, and when he got back home, he forgot. He forgot to go and get the wealth and come back. He forgot that he asked the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wait there. This is still before I'lan al-Nabuwah. One day had passed. The second day had passed. On the third day, he remembered, he went back and got his wealth, and he went to that place where he asked Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wait. After 3 days, he found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still waiting there. After 3 days, he found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still waiting there. And if we had to wait for someone for 3 days, then we can just imagine how furious we would be. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq is such, his way in dealing is such, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not upset, did not become angry, and just asked him, but where have you been? It's been 3 days that I've been waiting here for you. Allahu Akbar. What a pleasure to deal with. Everyone was so pleased to deal with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there would be no chance of being robbed, no chance of bad dealings. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a person of his word that will deal with you with kindness to give you what you deserve and to give even more. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. He is the magnet of all creation. We sit in different parts of the world. We are seated in the studios of Madani Channel on the shores of Durban. Someone else is seated in Pakistan. Someone else is seated in UK. But all of us have this yearning. It's as if our hearts are drawing towards our magnet in Madinatul Munawwara. Just his way, his akhlaq, everything about him attracts the dunya towards him. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Sahib, I'm sure you must have read so much regarding the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enlighten our hearts and bring smiles to our faces, please, if we may request, by telling us of the noble, honorable, loving, and beloved personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
When we ask with love, because we want to know and we want to follow the examples of Rasulullah, like how he practically led us the ummah.
Alhamdulillah.
And mashallah, who better than him to teach us the way to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and express ourselves in the court of Allah azza wa jalla. Like everyone, every human being, whoever is devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the one unique creator, he wants to claim that I love Allah.
Yes.
Everyone in their own rights, we all claim that we love Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, say, O my beloved, if you claim to love me, then follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what will happen in return? Allah will love you. It's such a simple principle. And why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, He sent the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guide for us. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these stars, this sky, and these mountains, subhanallah. All are there as a sign to tell us that there is a creator who created all of this, subhanallah. These are signs of the majestic creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we as insan, we fell prey to the whispers of shaitan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them prophets and messengers to guide us. And then after all the prophets and messengers came, the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us. Allahu Akbar. It is the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidi. Just imagine that there are so many galaxies. As the science is growing and expanding its research, there are so many galaxies, so many Milky Ways. We live in one solar system. From those thousands that are there, one solar system on this planet Earth, which is in comparison to Jupiter and other planets, is tiny. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to become the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our reason to celebrate and to really adopt the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we are his ummati, then his values must reflect in us. If it doesn't, then we must question ourselves. Look in the mirror and question yourself. Do you truly deserve to be his ummati? Allahu Akbar. So his character, what was his character like? When a devotee, a true devotee, asked Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that how was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She says, don't you read Quran? He said, yes, I do. She said, his character was the Quran, subhanallah. And Imam Busiri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has very beautifully described his character, that فَمَا تَطَاوَلُ أَعْمَالُ الْمَدِيحِ إِلَىٰ مَا فِيهِ مِنْ كَرَمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَالشِّيَمِ. How can his admirers praise the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for it is beyond the ability of man to do justice to the sweetness and greatness of his character. Akrim bi khalqi nabiyyin zanahu khuluqun bil husni mushtamilin bil bishri muttasimin. What a beautiful manner. Allah has made the bodily figure of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What beauty. Those pleasant smiles display that on the sacred face are signs of happiness and liveliness.
And Allah has a very beautiful says, اے رضا خود صاحبِ قرآن مدہِ حضور تو جیسے کب ممکن ہے پھر مدحت رسول اللہ کی.
سبحان اللہ.
What a beautiful way in showing the greatness and the madh and the praise in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is really a great personality. If you just, no matter which angle you look from, really, no matter which angle you look from, he is great, he is amazing. You can't find him flawed in any way. He's that flawless Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A beautiful waqi'ah narration by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala. And there's a reason I wish to present Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's narration regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala is that sahabi who served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the khas qadim, the close servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For how long? For 10 years.
Allah.
Really, if someone spends 10 years in our service, how well would they know us?
Allah.
This personality spent 10 years in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he tells us some beautiful things regarding the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, subhanallah, that in the time that I served the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never did I do something where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, oh Anas, why did you do so? And he says further, never did I not do something where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Anas, why did you not do so? Now, just for understanding, if someone is helping us or serving us, there are times they may make mistakes. And we'd ask, why did you do so? Why did you not do so? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took so much care of the heart of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala that he didn't let him feel small. He didn't let him feel like he did something wrong. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala fell in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What akhlaq, What an amazing personality. What amazing manners. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And the next beauty is, after he sees and he is drawn close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the beauty of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he gets so close that he starts to describe the fragrance and the touch of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by now saying that there was no silk that was softer than the hands of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, there is no perfume that was more fragrant than the perspiration of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. What beauty Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. That his akhlaq would draw people close to him, and his physical beauty never let them leave.
And see, both his external and internal beauty. External beauty is your beauty, subhanAllah, just as we know. And the internal beauty is akhlaq, subhanAllah. And both of his beauty, there was no decline to these two beauties of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like every, like we are, alhamdulillah, when we are children, we are adorable. Alhamdulillah, every children are. And all the children, mashallah. You see them, you just melt because, you know, children are such. As you grow up, you know, the same face, it doesn't look so attractive anymore. And as you grow old and feeble and frail, all that beauty goes away. Allahu Akbar. But the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi never faded away. Both his external and internal beauty. And see, we as youth, we are discussing the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Though he departed from this world at the age of 63. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But never did we ever read in the history, in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he became weak due to old age, ma'azallah, and these kind of things. Yes. These kind of things can't be associated with the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child, as an adult, mashallah, as youth, and even as an elderly person, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he stood as an example for all ages, especially for us, the youth of this ummah, subhanallah. As you know, we as youth, we see, okay, what's trending? This is now the buzzword, the hot word. What's trending? Oh, this is trending, that is trending. And the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always trending.
Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah. From the time of 1400 years ago up until now and until the day of Qiyamah, it will be trending. So much so that today, you know, if we wanna make sure that, you know, we are relevant, we are keeping to the pace, and we are relevant to the world.
Yes.
And we are relevant in the court of Allah at the same time. If we want the combo of both, then the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the complete trend that we as Ummah need to have.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we are coming closer to the end of this program. However, a quick recap for us to learn what we've learned, or to revise that which we've learned in this program. Subhanallah, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had brought about and encouraged fairness, love, kindness, and mercy. We've learned about Halful Fudul, isn't it? Alhamdulillah, that was a contract that was made between the people of Makkah Sharif, between the leaders of the tribes of Makkah Sharif, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which fighting and argumentative behavior was to be removed, and rather Makkatul Mukarramah was to be a place of safety, a place of peace, a place of security. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Oh, beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had encouraged this, and subhanallah azza wa jalla, alhamdulillah, the Muslim world and the entire world had learned these lessons and lessons of human rights from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at a young age, as we've heard today, had undertaken journeys. Example, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled to Syria, but even on journeys, Allah azza wa jal made the other creation subservient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just in the first episode, we've learned about how trees and stones would bow to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, subhanallah, we've heard about how clouds and angels would shelter and shade Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marrying the the most amazing lady, Tahira Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and subhanallah azza wa jalla, in his youth, ensuring that that kindness and that peace remained in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in the building of the Kaaba, in the placing of Hajr al-Aswad. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fair dealing in business and fair dealing with everyone, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to implement these teachings of our beloved master, of the best of all examples, and the best of the teachers from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah give us the tawfiq to implement these examples in our lives. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you please stay tuned to Madani channel, and we've got lots of exciting content for you from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as per the timeline of the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming up, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As we've informed you, we've got 12 episodes full of love, wisdom, and teachings from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this program, on this silsila. Stay with us, inshallah. Continue watching Madani channel. And blessings in abundance, and stay close to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Step by step we trace the way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.